Emma by Jane Austen.
Emma Woodhouse, handsome, clever, and rich, with a comfortable home and happy disposition, had lived nearly 21 years in the world with very little to distress or vex her. She was the youngest of the two daughters of a most affectionate, indulgent father, and had, in consequence of her sister's marriage, been mistress of his house from a very early period. Her mother had died too long ago for her to have more than an indistinct remembrance of her caresses, and her place had been supplied by an excellent woman as governess, who had fallen little short of a mother in affection. 16 years had Miss Taylor been in Mr. Woodhouse's family, less as a governess than a friend, very fond of both daughters, but particularly of Emma. The real evils, indeed, of Emma's situation were the power of having rather too much her own way. Sorrow came. A gentle sorrow, but not at all in the shape of any disagreeable consciousness. Miss Taylor married. The event had every promise of happiness for her friend. Mr. Weston was a man of unexceptional character, easy fortune, suitable age, and pleasant manners. But it was a black morning's work for Emma. The want of Miss Taylor would be felt every hour of every day. She recalled her past kindness, the kindness, the affection of 16 years, how she had taught and how she had played with her from 5 years old, how she had devoted all her powers to attach and amuse her in health, and how nursed her through the various illnesses of childhood. A large debt of gratitude was owing here. How was she to bear the change? It was true that her friend was going only half a mile from them, but Emma was aware that great must be the difference between a Mrs. Weston only half a mile from them and a Miss Taylor in the house. Her sister, though comparatively but little removed by matrimony, being settled in London only 16 miles off, was much beyond her daily reach, and many a long October and November evening must be struggled through at Hartfield before Christmas brought the next visit from Isabella and her husband and their little children to fill the house and give her pleasant society again. Highbury, the large and populous village almost amounting to a town, to which Hartfield, in spite of its separate lawn and shrubberies and name, did really belong, afforded her no equals. The Woodhouses were first in consequence there. All looked up to them. She had many acquaintances in the place, for her father was universally civil, but not one among them who could be accepted in lieu of Miss Taylor for even half a day. It was a melancholy change, and Emma could not but sigh over it and wish for impossible things till her father awoke and made it necessary to be cheerful. Emma spared no exertions to maintain a happier flow of ideas and hoped, by the help of backgammon, to get her father tolerably through the evening and be attacked by no regrets but her own. The backgammon table was placed, but a visitor immediately afterwards walked in and made it unnecessary. Mr. Knightley, a sensible man about 37 or 38, was not only a very old and intimate friend of the family, but particularly connected with it as the elder brother of Isabella's husband. He lived about a mile from Highbury, was a frequent visitor and always welcome, and at this time more welcome than usual, as coming directly from their mutual connections in London. He had returned to a late dinner after some days' absence, and now walked up to Hartfield to say that all were well in Brunswick Square.
"It is very kind of you, Mr. Knightley, to come out at this late hour to call upon us. I'm afraid you must have had a shocking walk."
"Not at all, sir. It is a beautiful moonlight night, and so mild that I must draw back from your great fire."
"Dirty, sir? Look at my shoes. Not a speck on them.
By the by, I have not wished you joy. Being pretty well aware of what sort of joy you must both be feeling, I have been in no hurry with my congratulations, but I hope it all went off tolerably well. How did you all behave? Who cried most?"
"Ah, poor Miss Taylor. 'Tis a sad business."
"Poor Mr. and Miss Woodhouse, if you please. But I cannot possibly say poor Miss Taylor. I have a great regard for you and Emma, but when it comes to the question of dependence or independence, at any rate, it must be better to have only one to please than two. Especially when one of those two is such a fanciful, troublesome creature," said Emma playfully. "That is what you have in your head, I know, and what you would certainly say if my father were not by."
"I believe it is very true, my dear, indeed," said Mr. Woodhouse with a sigh. "I am afraid I am sometimes very fanciful and troublesome."
"My dearest papa, you do not think I could mean you, or suppose Mr. Knightley to mean you. What a horrible idea. Oh, no, I meant only myself. Mr. Knightley loves to find fault with me, you know, in a joke. It is all a joke. We always say what we like to one another."
Mr. Knightley, in fact, was one of the few people who could see faults in Emma Woodhouse, and the only one who ever told her of them.
"Well," said Emma, willing to let it pass, "you want to hear about the wedding, and I shall be happy to tell you, for we all behaved charmingly. And you have forgotten one matter of joy to me, and a very considerable one, that I made the match myself. I made the match, you know, 4 years ago, and to have it take place and be proved in the right when so many people said Mr. Weston would never marry again may comfort me for anything." Mr. Knightley shook his head at her. Her father fondly replied, "Ah, my dear, I wish you would not make popularity for any more matches."
"Only one more, Papa. Only for Mr. Elton."